G'day, Mark Howard here. A year ago, I started the Howie Games podcast, which has given me a fantastic opportunity to chat with some of the biggest names in world sport. At times, the episodes can be pretty raw, like Lane Beachley talking about coming to terms with being an adopted child.
And, you know, it's our thoughts that create how we feel about something. You know, our thoughts lead to emotions and actions, and then those actions determine the results that you produce in your life. And I love to refer to the difference between having a victim mentality versus a victor mentality. And the victim mentality is a mentality of, I can't believe this is happening to me. I can't believe I was rejected at birth. I can't believe my own mother didn't want me. I can't believe that I feel, why have I been so abandoned, so rejected? I can't believe, this is not right. Right? And I don't know what to do about this. And that's the victim mentality.
That's the victim.
The victor goes, all right, I'm not going to go through this for nothing. I'm going to turn this into something positive.
You can listen to the Howie Games at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Get Ruin Dits for Breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.
Oh, Roo, let's have a lot of fun on this Tuesday morning. Tex Walker's coming in. We got so much to talk about. Peter Hellyer's going to have a laugh with us as well.
Yeah, it's a good start, isn't it, when you got it boys is like that coming in. We've got the Angels on today as well. And they're always up for a laugh.
Yeah, so I want to be up the time
at their expense, hopefully, Dits, but, or even ours.
I want to be up and about and have a laugh. But, Roo, can I just start on a real, real sad note? And I'm sorry.
Get it out of the way.
Lucy Paveley, the lady that's lost her life in that car crash on the weekend, I was watching the news last night, Roo. I tell you, I was nearly howling. To see photos, and they had blanked out the little kids' faces, but an 8-year-old girl and a 7-year-old boy whose mum doesn't come home. She left to go to work Sunday. And, you know, I know you always hear these things when these stories happen, but I just sat there looking at this little girl, and there's a little boy as well, I know, but I thought, this poor girl, when she has her 18th birthday or her 21st or a school formal or, you know, gets married one day, has her first baby, all of those life experiences and her mum's not there. And I tell you, I was nearly crying. I could not believe what I was seeing. And I'm not discounting how the little boy has to go through life as well. But, you know, that special relationship, it is just so unfair what has happened.
Yeah, there's a few families in South Australia like that at the moment, unfortunately. And we've just got to do something about it. The rules aren't right. I don't think these kids are getting sentenced according to their crimes. And I hope that changes, and I believe it is going to change. We're going to try and speak to John Rowe later, who's trying to do that.
Something interesting about the police report too, the charges laid are for manslaughter. And I'm reading this morning, I don't know enough about this, but I read the report in the Advertiser that this is unusual. In other words, normally it's
dangerous driving
or death, you know, caused by dangerous driving or aggravated, you know, dangerous driving, all of these things. They've gone to manslaughter, which apparently is a real first. So
can get life for
that. Try and find out exactly what that means, Roo.
Yeah, we will talk about that later on, because it's a thing that, at the moment, you think it's only a matter of time before another one happens.
Oh, look,
because nothing's going to change, I don't think, at this stage. So let's hope we can get on top of it. But Tex Walker, Peter Hellyer, the Angel, is going to be a big show.
Well, indeed. Ruin Dits on Triple M.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Making news around
Can't
the joint.
Can't slow dance to that one, Dits.
No.
You play that and then you have a cuddle.
Yep. Making news, Bill Shorten was on Q&A last night on the ABC.
How'd he go?
I didn't see it, but I've read the report this morning. He was grilled over and over about his citizenship. And he's being sheepish now.
His dual citizenship.
Yes, or his lack of citizenship or whatever. He's saying that in 2006 he renounced his British citizenship. Now, look, with all of these politicians, I'm at the point where I don't actually care.
No,
I
think who does care?
We voted them in.
It's another rule that I don't even understand why it's important.
No, but I guess if there's a rule, there's a rule.
Yeah, but I know.
I really don't care. But at the moment, Nick Xenophon's under a cloud. Bill Shorten's under a cloud. A couple have already resigned, as you know. You know, they stood down.
Yep.
And yet, we've got these politicians that aren't standing down. So they're probably going to wait and fight it or whatever. But
career politicians.
But the interesting thing about Bill Shorten last night is that every time he was asked to, would you produce the documentation? He kept saying, well, I shouldn't have to. I don't want to. And words of the like. So he's ducking and diving. Has he really got the documentation? It remains to be seen.
Might be stalling till he gets it. Who knows what he's going to do. But
I think it's in the post.
Maybe it's
organising it now.
It's on its way. But he's going to join a long list anyway that have got dual citizenship. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next few weeks. We spoke before about the very sad death of the mother. And we know that John Rowe is hell-bent on changing the laws. And we believe they're going to come in October, Dits. And he had a little bit to say about why he wants to change it.
In some circumstances, the offending of these young people is so gross that they need to be dealt with as adults.
Now, we are chasing John Rowe this morning. We're really keen to talk to him because he was quite outspoken yesterday. And he did state on the news last night that the laws will change in October. He went on to say that these five individuals will come under that new law jurisdiction. Mm. However, I just wonder if a lawyer can argue, but hang on, they were arrested before you changed the laws.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll...
I reckon that might be a loophole, to be honest.
Yeah, we'll find out shortly. But I'm glad to hear that we're doing something about it anyway. I'm not sure if that's going to solve the issue or not, but they're trying. And we had an interesting situation over in the World Masters Championships.
Swimming.
For swimming. We had a swimmer that wanted to... We thought it was a good idea to have a minute silence before they got underway to commemorate the passing of the people in the Barcelona terrorist attacks.
Well, he's from Barcelona.
Yeah.
And he went to the officials, I think quite rightly, and said, would you mind if we, you know, I'm in the 200-meter breaststroke, and when we get on the blocks, can we have a minute silence? The organisers said, no, it'll put us behind schedule.
Put us behind schedule.
Fernando Alvarez.
1 minute.
Fernando Alvarez, what he did, he stood on the blocks and they went, ready, set, go. Everyone jumped in and he stood there and he counted, he waited exactly 60 seconds and then he jumped in. So he actually did the race a minute behind everyone else and good on him.
Yep. Probably the first place didn't mean too much to him, but doing the minute silence probably sent a message to everyone there how important that was, and good on him for doing it.
Yeah.
Ruined Tits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Now, Roo, we've just received a press release this morning, a thing called the ACRAs. Now,
what does that stand for?
No idea. It's new to me, but it's the Radio Awards, Australian Radio Awards. They call it ACRA. So it's like the Logies.
Commercial Radio. Australian Commercial
Radio. Australian Commercial Radio,
Awards. Yeah. ACRA.
Anyway, there's a glaring omission. I've been through every category, Roo, and we don't feature at all. Like
what?
No. And there are several.
What, is it just Adelaide Radio?
No. This is Australia. There are several nominations in each category.
I can understand we didn't make the Australian.
I can't. Come on.
Come on.
The high standard that we pump out here every morning.
Yeah.
And we haven't even, not even a nomination.
I thought we might have got something for the state at least, I didn't. I thought you were. I saw off on the board that you wanted to talk about this, so I had a little think about perhaps why we didn't get nominated, and here's a little snapshot maybe.
Chris Dittmar, esteemed radio journalist.
All dust.
Always early with the news.
Drew, it would be bedlam down at North Terrace this morning. There will be people everywhere, lights flashing, sirens
going on.
First morning of the new RAH. I'll bet there are people queuing up to get treated.
Maybe a little bit too early?
Good morning, boys. Believe it or not much. Absolutely nada. Like, who has a doctor's appointment at 6:40 a.m?
Everyone is his buddy.
Andrew Stocktail joins us. Andrew, good morning.
Hi, Dits.
Can I call you Stocky?
Yeah,
what do they call you, Andrew?
That was my old nickname.
Andrew Stocktail, my buddy, my pal.
He's very highly researched.
What is happening down at the Adelaide Oval tonight?
Well, it's actually tomorrow. I'm not sure if they're doing it for the game tonight. Definitely tomorrow night. The Oval's going to be lit up orange.
Dits, you should have quit while you're ahead.
So it's very, very rare.
No, that's not really rare. That's quite common. It's probably second only to Down syndrome.
Sam Johnson. Now, Sam, what other work have you done? What were you doing prior to Molly?
Oh, I've just been a general reprobate, really. I don't really act much.
And so did someone pluck you from obscurity because of your likeness to Molly? Is that how it happened?
Yeah, pretty much. I was basically on a train and someone tapped me on the shoulder.
Dits, Sam Johnson, you know, Gold Logie winner, acted in Secret Life of Us.
Samuel Johnson!
Despite all that, at least his math is in order.
Shut up! The foot is on the radio! Open goal! Adelaide are in front!
Nearly.
They trail by 2 points.
8-6 is 2, Dits. We know what you meant.
I'm no good at math.
Chris Dittmar, Adelaide Radio Royalty.
It's absolute bullshit. How didn't we get nominated?
Oh, God, it was stiff.
Hey.
Very unlucky, Ditz.
God.
Bloody hell.
Now that you've reminded me of all the great highlights. Hell.
They got to listen to us more.
Maybe the top gong is an absolute secret. They don't hand out the nominations.
Yeah, maybe that's right. Maybe you're on the
same. Old Acra goes to Ruined Ditz. Triple M.
Well, maybe next year.
All right.
Keep up the hard work.
Ruined Ditz for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
6:43 Ruined Ditz for breakfast this morning. It's 12 degrees at the moment. It'll be 16 possible showers today. Roo, this article in the Advertiser today about how parents now speak to teachers, and of course social media now has become a big part of it where they're actually writing things on Facebook and online that are very, very abusive and, well, it seems to be quite unfair.
Oh, absolutely disgraceful. Swearing and carrying on, and a mother even... Yeah, use words that we can't use even on Triple M and added, I wish you'd die afterwards.
Said about the teacher, I wish you'd die.
Yeah, and
That's nice.
A couple of expletives before that as well. But parents are definitely having their say. Well, they've got opportunities to have their say more now than probably in the past, did you would think?
Or yeah, but we've changed, no doubt, like unbelievably. And I can tell you, in 100% of cases, my parents in the day... would have, if I come home and complain and said, oh, the teacher, yeah, bad luck, get on with it. Or bad luck, they're the rules, get on with it. At no stage did my parents ever say, right, I'm going down the school to speak to that teacher, or you know what I mean? Whereas now, and I hear this.
Can I share one story?
Go on.
My brother got the cane one day, and I remember my old man ringing the teacher. This is Murray Bolden, beautiful Murray here, yeah. And said, if you hit my son again, I'll come around there and give it to you. He rang.
My parents were the opposite.
Yeah.
And exact opposite. They were, well, you deserved it. Because I did complain the odd time. I'd say, bloody old, you know, brother Delicious gave me the strap today. And Dad would say, well, stiff, you deserved
it. Did you deserve it?
And I didn't get the chance to tell the story. It was bad luck.
Brother Delicious.
But, you know, go to Saturday Morning Sport, Roo, and listen to the parents, eavesdrop, and they'll say, I went down to the school this week and I told them what I thought and I gave them a piece of my mind. Like, the number of parents that talk like that, instead of just taking a deep breath and saying, well, maybe the school's doing this for a reason. How about a bit of discipline, or how about, you know. And I remember even petty little things like, in my day, I had to wear a school cap and a tie and a blazer. If you forgot your cap,
yeah,
and I'd go home and say, Dad, all I did was forget my cap. Well, bad luck. Make sure you got your cap next time. Wear it. You know, whereas now, I reckon mums are too quick to go down to the school and say, I can't believe you gave my kid detention for this or that. The whole thing is to, we are.
Do you reckon majority of people are too protective of their children?
And look, having said that, I've made the same mistake myself. I put my hand up as well. I've done it. I wrote a letter to the headmaster once about my son.
Well, I wonder what teachers actually do have to put up with. And it's so much easier now with Facebook, isn't it? I guess they can just get on there and with their phone or immediately and just do a rant. And before they've probably had time to take a deep breath or sleep on it. They probably regret it, or some
teachers
get
on. What about parent teacher night, which everyone goes through? Imagine trying to tell a parent that your son or daughter's no good or misbehaves or only got a C for maths, and you know, parents
someone who doesn't want to hear that, you mean?
That's what I'm saying. Parents now, no parent in this day and age wants to hear that. No, they're not honest enough to say, well, yeah, you're right. And the other one, of course, is sport. For those of us involved in sport, when that young boy or girl sits on the bench for most of the game because they're not up to it, and then the parent rips into the coach.
I reckon that's every coach's nightmare, isn't it? That they get that. Yeah. No matter how good a job you do, there's always one or two parents that think their son or daughter should be playing more or playing in a different position more and are better than what they are.
Yeah.
That happens in every single sport and grade anywhere.
Just surprised at the school one, though, because I got no doubt, except for your dad, every dad in the world would say back in my day, bad luck, get on with it. You know, I'm not going down the school to stick up for you. That's your problem.
Yeah.
And I had this big group of kids picking on me. I've been picked on all my life, Roo, but I had this big kid.
Well, when you're an adult, kids were picking on you when you're an adult? Or when
no, when I was in primary school. Oh, they're still picking on me now. So, I was in about grade six, and there were these three lads, massive.
Hey, Mr. Didmer!
Anyway, so I went home to Dad and said, Dad, I'm getting the shit kicked out of me, these three blokes. He said, well, belt them. I said, I thought you might be able to help me out of it. Nah, he said, just belt them. Now, again,
see the biggest, find the biggest one.
That was the advice you got back then. No help, nothing. It was bad luck.
I think you had a bit of a rare dad.
You reckon?
It's a little bit.
No. All my friends are the same.
Were they really?
Yeah.
All the dads were the same.
We talk about it all the time. Our parents didn't stick up for us like they do now.
Yeah.
Who's right, who's wrong? The old way or the new way?
Well, do you want to take some calls?
I wouldn't mind, yeah.
Teachers out there, have you had phone calls?
So I'd love to hear from the teachers,
What type of phone calls have you had? Or parents out there, is Dits right? Are we too protective or are we not protective enough? Give us a call if you've sent a message to a teacher or given them a phone call.
133353, give us a call.
Triple M.
Modern parents, Roo, we're too quick to stick up for our kids. We don't let the school or the teachers handle it. We go in and say, don't yell at my child or don't hit them. And I don't know. Yeah, things have changed a lot.
Let's go to Paralawi. What do you think, Brenton?
Well, when I used to be a teenager at school, sometimes I was a bit of the class clown. I'd get sent home from school suspended because the parents had known my parents were home. The teachers would. I used to basically walk across the front yard. I'd hear my old man say, you know, what's this clown done now through the window? I'd tell my old man, and he used to say, you know what? You're stuffed up at the school. You're the school's problem, so you can go back to school and tell your teachers that I don't want you at home because you're a bit of a knob.
Oh, and, no.
And the school would deal with it, and the teachers knew what my old man was like, and they'd basically put me in the detention room. But always that night when I'd get home, I'd get a bit of a kick up the arse for stuffing up. But, you know, my old man said, I'll pay your fees. You know, good student or bad student, the school can do with you.
Mm. Fair enough. Not his problem.
All right, let's go to Michelle. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. I'm not a teacher or a parent, but growing up, both my parents are Scottish, and if I had any problems, it wasn't usually, you know, my dad that I'd go to. Although he would say the same as my mum. My mum's 5 foot, and she'd basically say, you know, if anyone on you, then you on them back bigger and better and make sure they don't forget it.
Right. An eye for an eye.
I never had any problems. You know, I might have had a little issue and then that would disperse very quickly. And I think I've grown up very, very confident with myself. And I think I like to, you know, help other people out as well. Stick up for people when they're not able to or they're too afraid to. And I think it was the best advice that they ever gave me. And they never interfered. They knew that I could look after myself, and that was it.
Good on you, Michelle.
Michelle's a standover man now.
She's a debt collector.
G'day, Tony.
Boys, my gardener, how are you?
Good, Tony.
I'm over this. I'm very passionate. I'm not a teacher. I'm a plumber. We have two beautiful boys. And let me tell you, the amount of interfering parents that we're breeding, this generation of delicate geniuses, I get emails from teachers saying, they go to college in town, they said, you are a breath of fresh air. If every parent left us alone, like you did, we'd actually get on with teaching. We've let it go too far that parents get... How did this happen that parents run the school? I'm just over it. I'm absolutely... We've had issues with behavioural problems. One of my children has gotten picked on. I was frowned upon because I said, next time that bully comes up to you, say, touch me again and see what happens to you. Now, my son stood up to this bully, threatened him, and the guy never went near him again, and everything's been wrong since.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, good on you, Tony. Let's go to Henry at Burnside. Good morning, Henry.
Hi, how you going, guys?
Good, thank
Henry.
You.
So I'm a teacher and got a few stories, but I guess, I mean, we'd get emails at, you know, 4 a.m. after the mums had had a few shandies or four pages long of having a rant, throwing in a few F-bombs and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest problem I have as a teacher is, you know, there are some kids who just lie.
Yeah.
You know, there are some people who lie. And as a teacher or as a parent or whatnot, you know if your kid's lying. You know if a kid's telling you a boogie.
Yeah.
But you try telling that to a parent when you've got two kids saying different stories. You know which one lied, but you're not allowed to say it. So, and I think that's the biggest problem because we're going to end up with all these kids who get out into society and they've never been picked up for lying because we're not allowed to just go with your gut feeling.
Yeah.
But I got one other story. I'll give it to you quickly. I worked in one of the, you know, elite private schools, and I once got pulled before the principal because I'd shown a video in class and I hadn't turned the lights on quickly enough afterwards. And it was bad for the kids' eyesight.
Oh my God. Give me a spell.
Gee whiz.
Yep.
And what happened? Who complained?
Oh, I had to apologise to the parent and set up a light monitor
to make sure that
the lights went back.
Well, one of the kids complained.
One of the kids complained, and the parent went to the principal, and then,
Do you think teachers have got enough rights with discipline, or do you think it's still too much in the favour of the kids?
Oh, I don't think we can do anything as a teacher, and that's from as soon as a kid figures out that you can't do anything as a teacher, you're up the creek and you've got no paddle. If a kid knows that the worst you can do is send them to the principal's office and they might miss out on lunch, for kids these days, that's not a big deal at all.
There might have been a few reasons why I didn't finish Teachers College, Dits, but I can tell you what, I went there for about 9 months and I thought, there's no way I'm going to survive as a teacher with the rules that are in place.
Yeah.
They're too much in the favour of the kids.
Yep.
Aren't they?
Yep, spot on.
Far too much.
And as we all know, it's common sense.
It's not going to do anyone any favours in the long run.
See, one day kids are going to leave and get a job and have a boss. And then having said that...
And they'll just whinge.
Yeah, but now bosses are weaker too because they're not allowed to be too tough. You know, this is where we're heading.
Yeah.
God.
Sort it out.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Pressure point! Pressure point! Ruined it. $1,000 pressure test.
Righto, Roo. We haven't given it away for a few days.
No, we haven't.
We must be due.
G'day, Josh from Strathalbyn. How are you, Josh?
Yeah, good, mate. Yourself?
Good. You ready to win $1,000 cash?
Yeah, sure. I'm pretty nervous.
Oh, yeah?
What are you up to today, Josh?
About halfway through my long trek to work as an apprentice electrician.
Good on you, Josh. Good boy. Where do you have to drive to from Strathalbyn?
Richmond.
Okay. Righto. What's it like on the roads this morning?
Oh, it's not too bad the time I leave. About 6:30, so it's all right.
All right. I feel like giving you $1,000, mate.
Yeah, do you follow the footy, Josh?
Yeah, I'm a Crowy.
Righto. Good. All right.
Dits is not that happy,
that's all right.
Are you ready to go?
As ready as I can be.
Give us 10 names of people on Triple M football. Commentary.
Jars and Louis.
Think Melbourne.
Nah, I'm struggling now.
You're a parochial South Australian.
Wow. All right, let's go to the adjudicator. How many did you get?
One, two, three, four. Correct.
Righto, four correct, Josh. We thought you might have been able to get that one.
Chris Judd and Brian Taylor, Wayne
James
Carey.
James Brayshaw.
All that sort of crew.
Yeah, the list goes on, doesn't it?
That's all right, mate.
Paul Ruse.
Hopefully you've been spending your time studying to be a Sparky, mate. We got tickets to the Royal Adelaide show for you anyway, buddy. So that'll be good when that starts soon, Dits, doesn't it?
It does.
Very soon. So, and anyone out there, if you want to pre-purchase your tickets, you can save up to 15% when compared to gate prices. So get on board with the early purchase.
Good on you, Josh. Thanks for being a part of it.
The following is an official announcement from the Australian Government.
Over the past few years, thought crime has reached record levels. Subversion is rife. Our enemies are everywhere.
Trust no one.
Luckily, there is an answer.
Peter Dutton.
No, not Peter Dutton.
Thank God.
Introducing a new series on Podcast One that interrogates the real threats to Australia, like John Safran, Rob Sitch, and children's author Andy Griffiths.
Oh, God, I love those Treehouse books.
Who will survive? Who will fail? Introducing Extreme Vetting with The Chaser.
The Chaser.
The only show with the power of life and death over its guests.
Listen at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Ruined Dits for breakfast.
Distinctive homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Let's talk about
Tex.
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Oh, hello, Tex. Good morning.
Good morning, Dits.
Just to tell her, he's got his headphones wrapped around the microphone and microphones down around his knees. Come on, get organised.
I've got it here.
This is what happened at the start of the game on the weekend.
Obviously, slow start. So I'm going to ask him about that in a moment.
Gee whiz.
Right, now he's organised.
We're on, yeah.
You've been here 5 minutes. You've got to get, it's called preparation, Tex. You've got to get these things done.
Yeah, I thought you would have done it for me, did
you? Right.
Hey, remember we had this chat, quite a funny chat about 3 or 4 months ago about fast starts, and you said you hadn't even spoken about it. You remember that?
That's right.
That was, actually, we might dig that out before. For the second segment today.
Oh, don't dig it back out, Roo.
Now,
dig
Tex, you'd be feeling a lot happier this morning knowing that the umpiring department at the AFL has come out and said, yes, we got the 50-metre penalty wrong at the end of the game.
That's awesome,
that'll make you feel a lot better.
Magnificent. Thanks. Hindsight's a bloody wonderful thing in the ditch. God.
Did you feel like you were getting a few free kicks throughout the game, though? Like, we were watching it.
Sydney copped a hide
early. Yeah, it didn't look like they were sort of not there, but they just kept going, gee, they've got another free kick. They've got another free kick.
I don't know. I'm one of those players you might laugh
at. It doesn't have to be even.
But when I'm playing, I find it really hard to sort of work out whether we're getting the free kicks or against. So I find it like there's some, like the Mills one, I was like, that's holding the ball.
Yeah. Well, he punched the ground. He knew it was holding the ball.
But there's like throughout the game, I find it really hard to say, we're 20 free kicks and they're 10 or whatever.
Some people have tried to say that the technicality was that the umpire hadn't called play on.
Nah.
Is that, that's not the rule, is
that's
it?
That's not the rule.
Because otherwise, he could be off by the time you've called play on.
They've admitted they were wrong.
Yeah.
They know they were wrong. They were wrong.
Right.
He punched the ground. He knew he was caught. Yeah. Everyone knew it. There was no discussing whether it was right or wrong.
I think it's if you have an intent to play on,
which
is
he
play
did.
On.
He stepped forward and he went to handball. But he went off his line.
Anyway, I'd love to say if we kicked our goals, we didn't.
Yeah.
So we didn't win.
No, good attitude. Now, about slow starts, right?
Yeah.
No, and this is, I know we've been there before, but Hugh Greenwood commented yesterday about it. And it was interesting that he talked about, or he raised the question, maybe our warm-up isn't correct. Are we switched on in the warm-up? Or, I mean, some people are lazy in a warm-up and others are really intense, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think you got to allow people to be themselves to an extent. We'll set a standard that we expect, but you still got to be able to be yourself and do your own warm-up. I'm not a big person on making blokes have to do things that they don't want to, but you need to be able to get yourself mentally prepped for the start of the game. And for us, like, we were just fundamentally poor. Like, our skills were poor. We dropped easy marks. Our skills weren't on. We were handballing backwards and we couldn't absorb their pressure. So it was a number of things early on, but we were able to hold off in the probably second part of that first quarter and absorb it more so than the first half.
In the games, Tex, where pressure is going to be on, the big games, the big finals, and Sydney are known for being fast starters and putting an enormous amount of pressure on, do you think Adelaide need to play a bit of a less risky style and just get it on the boot and, you know, they'll sort of wet weather football style stuff, and then after 5 or 10 minutes into the game when it just drops off a fraction, you can start throwing it around a bit?
Yeah, it's something we spoke about, whether, because Pikey's not a coach that says you have to do this, you have to do that. He leaves it up to us to play the situation and assess our options.
Yep.
But I think it's an area that, is it handball versus just get it on the boot and play the game in your forward
just
half?
Make some
and
ground.
That's something that we spoke about.
But overall, I thought the game was almost the perfect result. A small loss.
No, it wasn't the perfect result.
Almost the perfect result. Not the but you get a reminder, you focus on the little thing. I know you want to win. Of course you want to win. You're not going to say you're happy with a loss, but at least you focus on all the things you've got to improve on. You know, you can mix it with a good side. I mean, Buddy played well. A lot of things went right for them. You, I mean, you saw how good they can be, but you can focus on how you can be better and keep winning if you get to play them in the next few weeks.
Yeah, like we had our opportunities, as I said, but we weren't able to capitalise on those. And I think we not controlled the game for probably the last three quarters, but we're in amongst it and we're able to win our fair share of contested footy, which Sydney are outstanding at. We beat them in that area.
Well, you flogged them in inside 50s and everything.
Yeah, I'm fully confident that next time, if there is a next time.
Did
I'm
you know sure they were going to play the big fella Sam Reid behind the ball as much as they did? I was very surprised how negative they were with that move. Was that identified before the game that they'd do that?
Yeah, we planned that he'd potentially go back.
Okay. Yeah, I was a bit surprised by it, to be honest.
All right, good on you. Text more with the big fella in just a moment, including his world famous now dad joke. Text joined us for Distinctive Homes, perfect for your lifestyle, our house, your home.
Ruined it for breakfast.
Text!
On 104.7 Triple M.
That is just brilliant vintage Walker.
Because that's where the Rangers gonna be.
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Distinctive Homes, perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Oh, the big fella's in. Daniel Talia on the track this week. How's he look? Because he is so important for your team.
Yeah, we've got a 9-day break, so we'll have a couple of sessions. We've got one today and then one on Thursday. Yep. So hopefully we'll get the big fella up for those two sessions.
Right, so you're working 2 days a week now. That's good.
Yeah. 2 days?
Yeah.
We worked yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Going in today.
Oh, I have a lie down.
Wednesday, we've got the day off.
Hey, let's not trouble out working hard, Dits. We do 3 hours a day.
Yeah, good point. Right, move on.
Oh, you need Talia for Josh Kennedy. Win the Coleman medal again.
Yeah.
Get the job on that.
We do. But if he's too sore, he obviously won't play. And I went down and watched a sample on Sunday and Cole Hagen was in great form.
Yeah.
Time to do that.
What happened at three-quarter time? The Crows are up by 6 goals. A lot of people thought they might beat the Eagles with the best side in this year. What happened? That was into the wind too. They kicked 6 into the wind.
Disappointing, but we'll just have to try and win this week and then hopefully a couple of the other games go our way for us.
No finals for the Crows in the SNFL? Can they?
I think we can still make it, but it's like
mathematically possible, but unlikely.
Mm.
It's not.
I know you listen to our show every morning. Yesterday, we had Tommy Tai Chi on. The only reason I mention because I know all the footballers go down to his restaurant. Rue and I love going down there on a Friday and having some yum cha. Mm-hmm. This is Tommy Tai Chi yesterday.
We had a big week and we had a lot of people through, but you know, there's some bad people in the world.
Why?
I can't look at good side. You know what happened to Tommy?
What?
One customer, he did not pay.
Did a runner.
I look up and he gone and he did not eat much. He just had dim simmy, had the beef and black bean sauce, Singapore noodles, finish off with lychee. Then he ran off, you know?
Yeah.
I just said to him, if anyone see him, he was wearing a camouflage shirt and he was on crutches. You know what I said to him?
What?
You can hide, but you can't run.
Tommy.
We need to go down there Friday, Tex, down to Goodger Street.
I want to come.
Don't have the yabbies, though, for God's sake, not this
I've been there a few weeks now.
The yabbies?
He has out-of-date yabbies up there, and he's got a few people sick.
Yeah, a bit of food poisoning.
I think that's why Josh Jenkins got crooked the other week. Yeah. They thought it was from Darwin, but
the yabbies.
Tommy's, yeah. Tommy's got to be careful.
Yabbies. Are they big yabbies?
Well, they're out-of-date. I gave them to him in summer, and he's still feeding them now, but he's 7 months later. They're off.
Yeah, Tex, have you got a dad joke for us?
Yeah, I do. I do, Dit. Mm-hmm. These two blonde girls were walking down this road and one said to the other, look over there, there's a dog with one eye. The other blonde covered her eye and said, where?
Tex.
That's a bit of a visual joke, actually.
Yeah,
that was good, Tex.
I've got one.
Just for those, Tex hasn't worked out. We're on, right? He put his hand over his eye and delivered that joke. Just for everyone out there listening.
I've got another one.
Right,
that was an ordinary one. Right. An underage weasel walks into a bar.
An underage weasel. Yeah.
The bartender said to him, I'm sorry, I can't serve underage weasels. And the weasel said, that's fine. I don't need anything alcoholic. What else do you have? Oh, we've got water, tea, pop, smoothies. What would you like? Pop, goes the weasel.
Oh, Tex, come on. The one you had yesterday was even better. The one that you rang in yesterday was very good.
Do you hear about the bloke that kept hearing music coming from his computer printer?
No.
He didn't worry too much. He realised it was just the paper jamming.
Very good.
Come on, that's a silly. Your Monday jokes are pretty good, Tex. Come on.
Good on you, Tex.
Have a good win over there at West Coast.
We'll see.
Good on you, Tex.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Let's head to Melbourne this morning and say hello, Pete Hellier. How are you, Pete?
G'day, Dits. G'day, Roo. How are we this morning?
Yes, have you been out all night celebrating a big victory?
Yeah.
I was hoping you weren't going to bring it up, mate. It's a bit embarrassing. But yes, I won. Have you been paying attention last night?
You're not walking out of Crown Casino now for this interview, are you?
No, No, I'm trying to keep a lid on it, but it's always nice. Sometimes I go in to see who's been paying attention, and there's a feeling, you know, from Tommy Gleisner that I'm not going to win it, and that me and Pang are, you know, right at the back. But it was good to get the chocolates last night, but I wasn't going to bring it up, guys, because I know you guys missed out on the radio awards, which, I mean, how did that happen?
Come off it. The Acra Awards. We'll get that.
They'll come. Number one show in Adelaide. How do you get? I mean, you see the amount of nominations they have.
Yeah.
I think I got nominated for the Acra Awards.
Oh, I think it's a form of equalisation. We're a bit like Eddie McGuire. We blame everything on equalisation. Yeah. Hey, Pete, when I won the Brownlow, I walked out of the casino at about 6 in the morning across the bridge to my hotel, and Sunrise were there doing a cross, and I ended up doing a live cross on Sunrise after not having any sleep. So I thought you might be up for something like that this morning.
This is it. I'm doing it right now.
You start guys slurring a little bit, will you?
Gee, Pete, long bow to draw, and you got to mention the, you know, this with the Brownlow, isn't it?
I'm trying to justify him.
Yeah. No, Pete, we know you're on it. Any chance to mention the Brownlow?
Yeah, well, that's been a while. I gotta remind people.
You're worse than Steve Price trying to get Buddy the Jungle into every conversation he speaks about these days. Speaking about same-sex marriage, you'll get the Jungle in there somehow, you know.
They would have probably needed a bit of that.
Did you go to the movies last night, Pete?
Oh, yeah, I saw a movie. Tonight on the project, we've got Osama Stami on, who's a comic and a really talented guy who's made a movie about his own life, and it's called Ali's Wedding, and it's winning all these awards at the film festivals around the country. And it's about him, it's a true story about how his parents tried to get him an arranged marriage and all that kind of stuff. And it's a very funny, romantic and interesting film. But I think if you're thinking, I knew I was speaking to you guys this morning, I wanted to hear about how you guys proposed to your lovely wives, if you can remember.
Yeah, I had a similar story. My in-laws tried to rearrange out.
You're not marrying him.
That's right.
I've got a feeling Rue maybe proposed on Sunrise that morning.
No, it was sunset, actually. I had heat stroke, if that comes into it. We're up on a houseboat with Ryan Fitzgerald. It was been 48 degrees up on the river that day. I decided to ask my wife that night if she'd marry me, and in the front seat of Rhett Bigland's car. It was very romantic, beautiful stuff.
And then you ended up in the back seat.
Yeah, exactly right. And she said yes. So very romantic.
Pete, can I tell you, now, this is one you need to use at some stage moving forward. The greatest story is Rue's wedding. In fact, he should make a movie about his wedding.
Come off it.
Rue is the only bloke, and we have told this story 100 times.
There'll be others out there.
Rue's the
enough.
Only bloke that made a profit out of his wedding, because he said to all of his mates, he got 200 people to fly to the Port Lincoln Hotel, which he owns.
People so like you, that getting
you had,
away for
you had to
those.
Book a room and stay for the weekend.
They got good rates.
You had to eat in the restaurant. You had to have breakfast downstairs. Mm-hmm. I mean, and in the end, Rue rubbing it. He's
T-A-B,
he made
pokies,
thousands out there. Took him into the pokey room for a while.
No presents required. I said no presents required.
But the way I propose, guys, is I actually, in all seriousness, I made a PowerPoint presentation to my wife.
Oh, no.
I actually, and this is back in 2003. Like, I basically made a slideshow of various photos. We'd already had one kid by this stage, Liam, and these days, it would take you 5 minutes to do it on your phone, to be honest. But back in 2003, it took me about 8 weeks. I had to send a photo to a bloke in Brisbane. He had to send it to a bloke in Taiwan, put it on VHS. He had to send it back. It was an 8-week process. But I got the job done, just like I did on Have You Been Paying Attention last night. I got the job done.
And she said yes.
She said yes, eventually. They often forget to say yes.
Hey, good on you, Pete. We have to wrap it up. It's great talking to you. We'll do it again next week.
Good on you guys.
See you, Pete.
Pete Hellier.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 7:50 it is. Rue, last night I saw our Attorney General John Rau on all the news services, and he was a bit outspoken, and I was really happy with what he had to say. Now, this is after the weekend where Lucy Paveley has lost her life in this horrific car crash, and it's left all of us very, very angry. And it's and unfortunately, it's not the first time we've seen this.
No, we've seen it a few times.
We all know the story. Five youths, one of them's 13 years of age. It goes, they arrange in ages up to 18. And it's just disgraceful what's happened. And
it'll
said
probably
to you
continue
earlier,
to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's right. Unless we do more about this. Now, I sat on the couch last night watching the news, and they put up a photo of her family, and I was just about reduced to tears. It really, really affected me to see a little 8-year-old girl and a 7-year-old boy who no longer have their mother.
Yep.
It was so sad. Her husband obviously doing it very, very tough. But what about a little girl who is now without her mum? And I said to you earlier, and I really, really mean this, things like your graduation, your school formal dance, when mum helps you get ready. What about you get engaged, you get married, you have a baby, things like that that you share with your mum for the rest of your life. And this little girl's been robbed of all
and,
of this.
And the boy. The boys need their mums.
Of course. No doubt about that. And I'm just to cut to the chase, Roo, it really, really affected me. And it makes you so angry to see what's happened.
Yeah, but John Rowe wants to do something about this. He wants to see these crimes punished a lot harsher, and he joins us now. Good morning, John.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
John, one comment you made on the news services last night was about changing the laws in October. I'll get you to explain that in just a moment. But my first question is, if they are charged right now, is there any way at all that a legal team could argue that you've changed the laws in October, but they were charged prior to the laws being changed? In other words, under the old laws.
Well, that's one of the things that I was very concerned about, and I've rechecked the bill that I put into Parliament a few weeks back, and the bill operates from any trial that happens after the bill is passed.
Right.
So the answer to your question is, provided this bill goes through, any trial that happens after that will be under the new rules, not the old rules.
Right. So they'll be tried as adults. Is that what you're changing?
The court is able to make a decision to try a juvenile as an adult, yes. But that decision is still a matter for the court.
Yep.
But at the moment, we had that terrible case with the Tucker case where there was a similar tragedy involved.
Mm.
And even though the fellow was tried in an adult court, the sentencing rules that apply to adults didn't apply to him, and that's what I've tried to fix. So the law, if it goes through, will mean if the court says you're tried as an adult, you'll be sentenced as an adult.
Well, that's one. I mean, if that can happen and they start getting locked up for longer, hopefully the message gets around to them and their mates that, you know, this is a lot riskier and a lot, not worth doing. And hopefully that'll play a part. But do you think, are we winning the war with these kids, John, on their behaviour? And do they understand what they're doing, or are we not getting anywhere at the moment?
Look, that's a really hard one. I think the answer is that there are some of these young people who, possibly through no direct fault of their own, have lived in such awful circumstances that they really don't have much regard for anybody, including themselves.
Yep.
And I don't think actually changing the law is something that even enters into their thinking. I think some of these people, they're just going to behave this way anyway, which means locking them up is possibly the only way to keep the community safe. But look, there are other young people who ideally you would try and divert off the path that they may be going down and get them back into the right groove. And we should always try and do that.
Absolutely.
Where we can. But where they are just completely crossing the line, like, for example, in the Tucker case, I think all of those thinkings have to give way to, look, let's keep the community safe. Let's lock this person up.
For sure. And that's probably the key, isn't it? There's a great article in the Advertiser this morning. Colin James has written a piece about the head start in life that these kids haven't had. And when you look at their backgrounds, it is tragic. Some of them had no parenting, so they don't know right or wrong. Mm. And they start out even as 5-year-olds on the wrong path. So I get that. But surely we, the rest of the public, need to be safe as well, don't we? So hard decisions have to be made.
Absolutely. And look, there are a number of young people who, make a mistake. I'm sure that all of us at some point when we were teenagers or before did something silly. Mm. And you would obviously want those kids to get a fairly clear message that's not okay, but the opportunity to sort themselves out. But that's when they're doing relatively minor things.
Yeah.
Mm. When it gets to this stage, you know, where we've, you know, we've got people killed, for goodness sake, then
I
think that's where you have to say, well, look, that's all well and good for most kids, but sometimes it just goes too far.
John, I don't know if you can explain this part of the law to us, but I see where the police have decided this time to charge these kids with manslaughter rather than a
death by dangerous driving.
Yeah, death by dangerous driving. That's obviously a deliberate ploy.
Well, yes, it's a more serious charge. Even though the penalty potentially for the same for both of them is the same, it's an indication, I think, that the police regard this as, in effect, a joint criminal enterprise by all of the individuals involved.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a mark of, you know, how seriously they're taking about it, which is entirely appropriate.
Yeah, for sure. John, we appreciate your time and we applaud the fact that you're trying to put this bill through as well. So good
luck
with
that. Well done, John.
And thanks for talking
to
us.
No worries.
I think everyone out there agrees that these sentences need to be harsher.
Yeah. Our Attorney General, John Rau.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really.
Let's ask the angels.
Infamous, the only Spiegel Big Top with world-class acts.
Good morning, angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
We've got, you're in full voice this morning.
They're up and about,
aren't they, Ru? Mel the button pusher. Mel the button pusher, just to give us an update. How many months pregnant are you?
Five.
Yes. Ooh, how's it all going?
Great. Thank you very much.
No, good. Alice the wag.
Good morning.
How many months pregnant are you? No,
oh,
no.
Zero.
No,
surprise.
No, zero. And we've got Batesy, who's with the war hero back from Iraq. And God, Ru, I think she's giving him a hard time.
Right, to go back to war.
Yeah. First topic. Ru, we talked about this morning. It's actually an article in the Advertiser about how bad parents are, modern parents. They're going even on Facebook now and abusing teachers and rubbishing them. And we just made the point that...
Swearing and calling them all sorts of things.
Back in our day, I reckon the teacher ruled and certainly the headmaster ruled. I reckon there was so much respect for the headmaster at school, even from parents, that you didn't dare challenge them or say anything. And if ever I got into trouble, the answer from my parents was, well, bad luck, you deserve to get into trouble. Go and sort it out. Whereas now, parents march straight down to the school and say, well, I'm going to talk to the teacher about this.
Mm.
So we are creating a generation of soft children, I think, as a result of it.
Do you agree with it, girls?
Batesy.
Well, I think you'll be surprised by this, given how chill I am, guys. Mm. But my mum is a bit of a taskmaster, and my sister's in year 12. Mm. So she probably calls the school once a fortnight on average. So I'm not even exaggerating.
Mm.
Just for if something goes wrong, to the point now where my sister's like, well, I can just get mum to call if you want.
Mm.
And then the teacher's just like, oh, God, please, no.
Oh. See, and she's typical.
Is your mum a pain in the bum?
Oh, hang on.
Good morning, Mrs. Bates.
She's
or does
not,
she ring unnecessarily?
No, it is over genuine things. For instance, my sister wasn't allowed to take home a test, which was just a test for the purposes of studying for the exams, to revise over what she did wrong.
Mm.
They kept all their tests and they wouldn't allow them to give them back. And my mum's point was, well, how is she going to better herself
and
learn what she did wrong?
Now, this is a good example here, right?
Yeah.
I can remember I would have gone home and said to my mum or dad, oh, they're not letting me bring the test home. Dad, oh, they're the rules. Get on with it. Whereas your mum saying, well, I'll ring and
she's
sort
questioning
this out.
It.
They're questioning it. That's what I'm saying. The modern parent questions everything.
Agreed.
In my day, old man would have said, well, they're the rules.
Yeah.
Suck it up. Get around it. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, I agree. She does question all of it. But I think from that point of view, it's in some cases a good thing. Because what was the reason why? And even the teacher said, I don't know. That's just the rules.
Yeah, but sometimes I think at schools we had rules so that you learnt to deal with rules.
Yeah, fair point. Fair
point. Alice the Wag.
I went to a very strict private girl's school.
Oh, God.
And,
are you
know, you'd get a detention.
You have to wag a lot.
I know.
Gee, wag. That was money well spent, wasn't it?
My parents wasted so much money.
It was called writing girls, wasn't it?
Writing. Daddy's little princess.
Writing. And your old man called it writing checks.
Yeah.
Writing checks.
That is so
But so we had a lot of girls. Like one girl, her dad was on the board. And one day she was getting in trouble. And she stood up and she said, do you know who my father father is. And that day I came home to mum and dad and I said, you are not getting involved at school. You can come to like events if we have them, but you're never calling up and you're never doing anything. So they were very chill and I'm very appreciative of that because it just means like it steads you up for life. Like when something happens at work and I'm pissed off, I can't get my mum to call you guys and say, don't be mean to Alice. Like I just have to deal
just
with it.
Oh.
And one time my dad used to pick me up from school sometimes on his motorbike.
Gee, she's on a roll now.
And so we had to, we weren't allowed to leave the school. It was a little scooter, but we weren't allowed to leave school premises without our blazer on. But because I was just about to go and put the motorbike jacket on, I had it half on, like on one arm. And then the teacher's like, Alice James, you stop right now and put your blazer on. If not, I'm going to give you a detention. And I was like, oh, you'd only be able to give me half a detention because I had it half on. And she looked at my father like he should discipline me. And dad started laughing. He's like, yeah, good one, Alice. Like, that was really funny, and the teacher was so mad.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Are you done? Are you finished?
Yeah, that's it.
Right,
that's it.
Thank God for
Thanks,
that.
Everyone.
Right, Mel, the button pusher. Now, Mel, you'd be interesting in this because you've got a little one that's going to, is it daycare or play
school? Yeah, childcare.
Right.
Yep.
Do you find that even at this age, are you questioning and asking, why did you do that and why did you do that?
No, I don't, because I think those people are saints dealing with that many kids on a daily basis, but I do see the other parents who do. Who even at childcare with two-year-olds are going nuts at these poor people who aren't earning enough and work really hard, going absolutely crazy at them. And I just take a step back. And I figure if she's not physically injured, then they're doing their job. They are.
Get home in one piece.
Yeah, that's right. You're all right. And I know, like, my parents didn't even, I'm a little bit older than these other two here. My parents wouldn't have even known my teacher's name, let alone put in a phone call. To them about anything, and I would have been mortified.
No, it's interesting the way modern parents have changed. It
certainly
really
have. Hey, it's come across my desk that you've got another letter. Is that right?
I have got a letter.
Who's it from?
It's a bit of a sad letter, actually. John from Mitcham has written to me, and he starts off by saying that he lost his wife a few years ago, and he's raising two boys, and they're just entering teenage years, so 13 and 15, I think he's saying here. 13 and 15.
Do you remember their names?
He hasn't mentioned them.
Okay.
And fair enough.
Probably
too.
Not important.
No, it's not. But anyway, what he's saying is that he's asking the question, and you girls can probably, you are qualified to talk about this, I think, because you're a fair bit younger than Rue and I, but sex education at school, do we trust it? Do they get the right messages? He thinks his boys are at the age where they need to be sat down and spoken to, but he doesn't want to do it. He's nervous about it. 13 and 15.
Okay.
So he's asking the question, do I trust school to actually get the message across and do it in the right way? What was your experience, Batesy?
Well, I didn't have any sex education, so...
Learn on the job.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, dear.
So to speak. It's just a figure of speech.
Yeah, so for me, I think it's definitely not something I would trust the schools. And even my sister, who's in high school now, she hasn't had any formal, like, conversations
so they still do
or anything.
It.
She's at a Catholic school, and so no, there was nothing around it.
Right.
So I think it's definitely a conversation you need to have.
So you think it's dad's job then to maybe sit them down?
In this instance, absolutely. I think it's the parents' job. But I think also...
Did your mum or dad sit you down?
Yes, unfortunately. My mum sat me down. It still scares me.
It's a bit awkward.
Yeah, it's awkward, but it's good because I think it's not just about the ins and outs of what you need to do to protect yourself, but also understanding
the
ins and outs.
Strange choice of words. Yeah. Gee.
But also the importance of what you're doing and who you're doing it with.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. Alice.
Hello. Well, my mum just sat me down once and gave me that Where Did I Come From book.
Right.
So, and then I just never really spoke to her about it again. I just read it. And then we had sex ed in grade five.
Grade five? What?
That's ridiculous.
You
yeah,
can't
that's
be
when
serious.
It started. No, I remember it so vividly. And Mrs. Shotter was our teacher.
You weren't 14 in grade five, were you?
She failed a few
grade
times.
Five. What would you... I don't know. No, it's 12.
No, 12.
Oh, I don't know.
No, but not 12. It's
they
not
said
even that
at
old.
The start of the class, they said, everyone like was obviously giggling and everything, and they said, if you laugh, it shows you're embarrassed.
Right.
So I've never seen a whole classroom just didn't laugh for the whole time.
Right.
But I guess it taught me a bit, but then I think you just end up learning it from your friends, because I had a big brother, I didn't have an older sister.
Yeah.
So my mum taught me a little bit, but then you learn it from friends and stuff that it's kind of just happens, I guess.
Yeah, I did my sister's. So my sister's 10 years apart, so I did the speech with her.
Oh, right.
And I've done all the chats since. So
did you take that upon yourself or did your mum ask you to? Or?
No, well, my sister and I are really close. So it was sort of naturally happened. And then mum and I have had a conversation and it's on a needs to know basis. So things that she talks to me about, if mum needs to know about it, I'll tell her. Other than that, I just know about it myself.
Right.
So you got a sister 10 years younger, did you say?
Yeah. So okay. She's 17 and I'm, 27.
All right. Mel, what should John do here? Is it his job, do you think, right now to sit these boys down?
I feel sorry for him that he's doing it on his own.
Yep.
But one blessing is he's got boys, which is a bit easier for him, I'm sure, to deal with than a 13 and 15-year-old girl or pair of girls.
Right.
I can't imagine having anything that I wouldn't be willing to talk about my kids with. I don't understand why that's embarrassing. To talk about with your kids. And you've got to get in earlier now anyway because of the internet. You've got to get in way before 13 and 15 because kids are watching porn at 10 accidentally.
They are. Yes.
They are. It's funny.
My
it's traumatic. Kids are coming
active.
Across porn when they're that young. That's why you need to get in early and fix your computer and talk to them.
I agree.
Fix your computer. What can you do there? Because I've got a 10-year-old.
Block the apps. Get the apps sorted.
Yeah. How do you do all that? Is it easy?
You need to look into it and get smart about
There's
it.
Call
you know what I say, Sarah. Do that.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Angels.
Thanks.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
6:23 Ruined Dits. Now, I just want to give the warning again in case someone may have just turned their radio on, Roo, but we gave the warning 5 minutes ago. We're about to talk. This is like sex ed for adults, all right? So if you've got kids and you don't want your kids to be listening to this, I'm giving you
the warning. Are you qualified to be doing this?
Of course I am.
Where did you get your qualifications? Same place as where Bill Shorten's getting his dual citizenship papers from?
Yeah, same place.
They're on their way.
Mine's in the mail. University of Life, it's called.
Right.
Now, I don't go seeking these articles, Roo, but as you know...
You haven't had another letter, have you?
No, but I just get in early and do a lot of research, and I was reading one of the websites that I normally research to get info for this show. Up
and that website might...
No, it's an above board. It's a news. It's actually a news website.
Of course
so
it
a warning
is.
To parents, if you don't want your children to be educated right now, and bearing in mind, kids do sex ed in high school. Now this
and
is,
we need a top up every now and then as adults.
It's, a,
it's been a long time since you've been at school.
Refresher course. Call it that. This is
right, I get to the point.
Right.
Come on.
Well, we've given kids enough time to get away from the radio, or their parents to get them away from the radio. Vaginal atrophy.
What if their parents aren't around?
The kids are about to learn something, all right? Don't interrupt, please. This is important for all of us.
Oh, hey,
and you'll find out why in just a moment, why this is an important lesson in life. Vaginal atrophy, it's called. Now, of course, as I said, I was flicking through the sport, and next minute this came up.
Right.
I thought, hello, strange headline.
Mm.
What it is, apparently, now women can go through thinness inside. I'm trying to be not too technical here, but the walls, if you like. We'll call them the walls. Thinness, dryness, inflammation. They experience pain when they're having intercourse, which we don't want that. You know, that's not on.
It's not good for
anyone. Burning, stinging while urinating. And on it goes. This vaginal atrophy, it's like a reduction, right, in the lining and the walls and the muscles around it and all of that. So atrophy, just think of it lessening, if you like. Atrophy.
Lessening.
Yep. Okay, it's like your muscle degenerating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you had a muscle in your arm or whatever, getting thinner and...
Why is it degenerating?
Less estrogen. So then I thought, I've got to research this because I'm here to help. So less estrogen over the years as women get older.
So if they get less active, you mean?
No. Sometimes it happens as a result of menopause.
Right.
Which I could go off on another tangent and tell you all about that, but I won't.
You don't go there today.
Right, so less estrogen. Now, the cure is what I'm interested in because I want to help. And the cure is the most fascinating part of this, Roo. And this is where you and I come in and all the other men listening. We can help.
How do we help?
Call it an injection, if you like. seriously. So the more action...
How often do you need to have an injection?
We'll get to that. Depends how helpful you want to be.
Well, I want to be very helpful.
Very helpful, or you can be a little bit helpful, or you can go above and beyond and save their lives, basically.
All right.
Just be at it all the time. Because increased blood flow to the area will help regenerate. And rejuvenate the whole, bring it back to life.
That's right.
Like a flower that blossoms.
That's right.
You know, goes dormant and, you know, in autumn, the leaves
when
fall
you
off.
Have cuts or bruises or injuries.
Blood to the area.
If you've got good blood flow.
Blood flow.
It improves
so
quicker.
So by increased usage, activity.
Injections.
By increased injections, more blood goes to the area.
Yeah.
And what do you know? It comes back to life.
No decreasing.
No more atrophy. All right. So for everyone out there, you know, and people around our age who are listening to this
show. More injections equals less pain.
Correct. There you go. It's like going to the doctor and get that injection.
Right.
And everything will be hunky-dory, you know.
Have
and
have you run this by Kate?
I've only found this out this morning. I was reading the sports page.
Sounds like you've done a six-month course or
and
something.
And it just leapt off the page at me.
Right.
I thought a lot of people need to know about this.
Righto.
All right. So
I'm very happy. I understand this,
Rue. I want you to go away and do it for about a week and come report back to me and tell me if there's been any improvement.
All right, I'm going to be injecting daily.
Right, good. I'm glad, and it's totally legal. It's no illegal substance. Good. Totally legal.
Good.
Yeah.
Get Ruin Dits for breakfast weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast catch up at triplem.com.au.